He served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, and you have found a place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So if you have a question, a comment, or concern about wills, trusts, or probate, in other words, if you're worrying about, wills, trusts, or probate, if you're wondering how to beat the high cost of long-term care, you know, is long-term care insurance such a good idea? You know, one of the things that frazzles me a little bit is people keep telling me, oh, I know you don't like long-term care insurance. I know you don't like long-term care insurance. Hey, it's not that I don't like long-term care insurance. It's just that there's a role, there's a function, there's a place for it. And the problem is it typically gets oversold. You know what I mean? I'm fine with long-term care insurance, provided that you know what you're doing it for. Okay, so if you're thinking, jeepers, should we be doing that long-term care? Maybe what we'll do is put under the Christmas tree a long-term care insurance policy for mom and dad. Wouldn't they love that? Well, I don't know. Give us a shout, 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843, and we'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. If you're looking at buying or selling a property, if you're looking at starting a business, stopping a business, or just keeping that hula hoop swinging around your hips. Yeah, the analogy there is, you know, the hula hoop is sort of like keeping your business going. Was that obvious? Maybe. Anyway, give us a shout. Why don't you? 888-463-2843. That's 888-GO-DAVID. You know, if you like to follow along on the letters on your telephone keypad. Just to make it easy. Because That's really what it all boils down to. How do we make it easy for you? You know, now that we're in the holiday season, right? I mean, people start, you know, focusing back on the family. I have to say, thank you to everybody who showed up for our Black Friday and Saturday workshops. You know, it was no big surprise that we had a lot of extra pie. We always do, you know, because you always plan as if everyone's going to have two slices, or maybe they want one slice of this, another slice of that. And so the team members from the office took home, have to say, took home a lot of pie. I think they'll be all set on pie for quite a while now. But anyway, thank you everybody who showed up, and of course we are doing, you know, we're keeping our holiday tradition intact. The next holiday workshop is on New Year's Eve, well, the day before New Year's Eve, you know, because we don't mind doing both. But on the 30th, we've got a couple of workshops going on there. Easy to sign up for the workshop. Just get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. That's davidcarrierlaw.com. And you can always drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Okay, I think we got the housekeeping out of the way for now. One other thing, as many of you know, I have a son over in good old Afghanistan, and talked to him yesterday. I mean, isn't that kind of amazing? I mean, he calls on at least a weekly basis. We get to chit-chat, and says that things are going well over there, you know, well as can be expected. He's in the 1st Cavalry Division, and they're expecting units from the 82nd to be replacing them in the next over the next few months. So he should be back in the early spring, I guess, in March, April. But here's the deal, and we're going to put this up on the website, or just drop me an email. If they got some care packages from some groups that send care packages overseas. If you have a group and you're looking to send a care package, just drop us an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com, and we'll get you the mailing address. He said, you know, the Army supplies him plenty of socks, but jerky of all sorts is always welcome. So if you have ostrich jerky or, you know, alligator, whatever, I mean, jerky is always, as I said, jerky is always welcome. Okie doke, let's get to let's get to some of the emails we've got here. And this is one of those elder law questions that comes up because sometimes people think that, like, they're really clever, okay, and not so clever. Okay, question pertains to elder law and Medicaid. Can a creditor, particularly Medicaid, open probate on a decedent's estate? That's the first question. And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. In fact, the state of Michigan is, you don't want to say ruthless, but you could say determined when it comes to estate recovery. If there's any chance whatsoever of their recovering, they're going to. And I'll tell you, the policy is not to settle. I mean, I've learned this to my disappointment, I guess. I mean, you can't settle these cases. You can't say, well, if the claim is for X amount of dollars, right, you can't settle it for 50% or 80%. No authority. They don't have any authority. The assistant attorneys general who are working on these cases have zero authority to settle these cases other than for payment in full. Now, they don't have to get paid right away. You know, you can do a payment plan, what have you. But they don't have any authority to settle them. Okay? This is where if you receive long-term help with the long-term care, if you receive the Medicaid, right, where they come after your stuff after death, right, that's the estate recovery. That is a 100% probate situation. Okay? That's what it is. If you avoid probate, you avoid estate recovery. If you're going through probate, though, not you because you're dead, right, because your stuff is going through probate on its way to the kids. If that's the situation and you did receive help with the long-term care, they are very determined to come after that stuff. And while we used to think, you know, for a couple of years there, we thought that there was an exemption, roughly $50,000 that could go to the kids. Forget about it. Not happening. Okay? They want it. All right, so what are we going to, you know, what do we do now? Well, the answer is you pay it. Okay? So here's the thing. If you have a loved one who received long-term care, if the assets go through probate, the state is coming after it. Now, here's the question. First of all, can the creditor open probate on a decedent's estate? Absolutely yes. See, you don't, if you say, well, you know, yeah, mom died and there's the house there, okay, but we're going to avoid probate by not probating the thing. We're just gonna sit around for a while here and continue to live in the house or whatever. Like, that'll work. It won't work because the state can open, any creditor, including the state, can open probate. Are you with me on that? So mom received help with the long-term care, received the Medicaid, right? And she's passed, and now the house would be in probate, but right now it's still in mom's name. And we're not doing anything about it because if we went to probate, then we'd have to tell the state, oh, by the way, we're going through probate. Please take mom's house. Okay? Well, so people will, to avoid that, they'll say, well, I'm just not going to probate the estate. That isn't going to work. Okay? That's just flat right there. Okay? The state can open the probate and get the house. Now, the email goes on. It's kind of interesting. There is a residence that is in grandparents' name. All right? So we got grandparent, we got mom, and we got kid. The grandparents, and I'm paraphrasing this, because it's kind of, the email is kind of phrased like a, you know, grandparents A went to offspring B to grandkids C. Okay, well, anyway, the residence was never in the name of the kid. All right? The kid never owned it, but transferred their interest to C for consideration of the work done by C to care for B. In other words, the kids provided care to mom. All right, so you've got the kid. Kid provided care services to mom. All right, mom was entitled to receive the house from her mom. Okay, we're just making it all moms and daughters here, okay? So we have grandmother, mother, and daughter. Grandmother died. Mother could have opened probate on grandmother's estate, okay, and gotten grandmother's house. Mother has been receiving services from daughter, care services from daughter. Are you with me on that? So we got three generations. Grandma owns the house. Mom required care services. Grandma dies, right? Mom could have received the house in probate, but doesn't probate grandma's estate. Okay. And daughter, third generation, daughter provides care services to mom. When we get back from the break, we'll go into that again and just, you know, and you know the idea, too clever by half? All right, well, this is a too clever by half situation. Won't work, but we'll tell you how. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. And I would advise you to dress up like an Eskimo if you're going to be heading out in this winter season. That's always a good idea. Let's get back to our... Oh, you have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. If you'd like to sign up for a free life plan workshop, which we strongly advise, that's always... You know what? You know what you could do? I'll tell you what. If you want, we can... you know, we have this fancy notepaper at the office, right? If you want, right? I'm getting this idea from those people who pass out the lottery tickets. You know what I mean? They put the lottery tickets in people's stockings and whatnot. If you want to, we can give you a suitable for gifting, handwritten invitation to a workshop. How about that? Wow. Wouldn't that bring squeals of childish joy to anybody who would receive one of those things in your stocking or under the tree, an invitation to a life plan workshop? Well, the note paper is very nice, I have to say that. And if you want to find out just how nice, right, if you're stumped for the perfect present for that hard-to-buy-for individual, or, you know, if you want to drop the hint to mom and dad, how about that? You want to drop the hint to mom and dad, well, you can do it. Just... you know, drop us an email, David@DavidCarrierLaw. You know, I'm starting to think now, how many of these am I going to get? That's the problem when the brain doesn't get between the thought and the mouth. You know what I'm saying? But that's okay, no problem. If you want us to send a handwritten invitation that you can stick, you know, they really are very nice. I mean, the card is very nice, embossed and all the rest of that stuff. So if you want us to send a personal invitation to your loved one to come to one of the life plan workshops, you know how the teachers used to say, Mr. Carrier, are you waiting for your personal invitation to get in line? that was Sister Mary Rachel, incidentally. So if you're waiting for your personal invitation, right, or mom and dad waiting for their personal invitation, drop us an email, David@DavidCarrierLaw.com, and we will send, tell us who to send it to, right? And we will send them a personal invitation. And if you would like, we'll send it to you, and you can slip it in their stocking for Yuletide joy. Okay, let's get back to the somebody ought to do that. You know what I mean? I'm challenging you. Somebody ought to see what happens. Anyway, let's get back to the question. We've got a situation where we've got grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter. Okay, three generations. Grandmom has a house, which, when grandma died, should have gone to mother. But mother never probated grandmother's estate. Okay? Now, daughter is taking care of mother. Are you with me on this? Daughter is taking... So we got three generations. Grandma has died, had a house. Left it to her daughter, but daughter never probated the estate. Now, granddaughter is caring for daughter, okay? And the question is, so the residence was never in the name of the daughter. Daughter never owned it. But, you know, here's the too clever by half. But simply transferred her interest to granddaughter for consideration of the work done by granddaughter to care for daughter. A residence is allowed to be transferred. However, in this case, it wasn't done by deed as daughter didn't have it. It was done by assignment. Well, you know, If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, guess what? It's a duck. So don't tell me it's an assignment. It was a transfer of real property. You say, oh, wait a second. No, it wasn't really a transfer of real property. It was an assignment of interests in a probate estate. Okay. I mean, how long is that going to take a judge to blow right through that one, okay? Can Medicaid, if they've paid money for the daughter, open probate after daughter's passing before granddaughter is ready to do so if Medicaid has a claim? Well, now, here's the thing. When you sign that, I mean, it's more serious than that, okay? You don't get to wait. I mean, what mom did here is there's absolutely daughter. You know, we've got grandmother, we've got daughter and granddaughter. What mother is doing, okay, in not probating the estate is itself a divestment under the Medicaid, okay? It's not just a matter of, hey, here's what I've got. It's also, and this is one of the things you have to certify in that application, you have to certify that not only have you revealed all your assets, but also that you have not foregone, right? You have not given up. You have not transferred any right to receive property. Okay? It's not just a matter of the property. It's also a matter of, did you give up the right to receive property? Are you with me on this? Okay, you don't get around it like this. This doesn't work. Plus, you know, you're saying in consideration of the work that's done to care for the mother, hey, you're not entitled to any compensation for that. There's almost two pages of regulations on what the hoops you have to jump through in order to be compensated for caring for your parent. Are you with me on that? Okay. So this doesn't work on any level. All right. The care services, you're not entitled to compensation for that. The not asserting a right to receive property, that doesn't work either. You know, this used to come up with lawsuits all the time. People would, somebody gets injured, they're in, receive the Medicaid, right? And then the kids or the spouse gets all the money from the settlement, right? And the person who was actually injured gets very little. Well, that's because they gave it all to the other ones for loss of consortium and what have you, okay? Well, Medicaid figured that one out, 20 years ago. Now, okay, that's not going to work. You see? So this idea where you can, the idea that you can lie in the weeds and hope that Medicaid doesn't show up, that is not going to happen. Okay? Estate recovery is here. It's real. It's serious. Okay? You don't get around it with tricks. Okay? Now, there are things that you have to do to comply with the law that are goofy as heck. I live there, believe me. I live there every day. You know, that the things that you have to do are not exactly logical or not exactly obvious or what have you. I get that. But tricksy kind of stuff like this is not going to work. Get to a life plan workshop and find out how it does work. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm still David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So give us a shout, why don't you, at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. 888-GO-DAVID. You can also drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Or get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. And that's where the current workshop schedule is. It's right there. And if you'd like, you can sign up for one of those free life plan workshops. We've added extra workshops, so if you were discouraged that, well, it's, you know, you don't have any workshops coming up recently. Well, we added more in Muskegon and Holland. We actually got more space at the hotel. We're doing a few. Next couple of months, we're doing a few of these remote ones. They're generally here at the office, you know, at our own facility. But taking the show on the road, so we still have a little more room there. You folks in Big Rapids, you know, get with the program, will you, please? we've only got about seven families showing up there. So, you know, we got plenty of room in Big Rapids with the original, and then in of course in Holland and Muskegon, we've gotten a bigger room. So, you know, if we were saying, oh, sorry, the room's full. Well, if we didn't get back to you, get back to us, because we should have gotten back to you. But if we didn't, just give us a call back, because we did get some more space at those two locations. And this week, about a very troubling development where the Lady Bird deed, or the transfer on death deed, which has gotten a lot of popularity as a way to help with the Medicaid planning, very important tool when we're dealing with families who have not done a pre-plan. Now, the purpose of the workshop is to, you know, introduce you to some of the pre-planning techniques which make the Lady Bird deed unnecessary. Okay, but at the same time, right now it is what most people are doing in crisis case, and certainly we are. You know, we're doing a lot of these transfer on death deeds. The disturbing development is that it looks like, and we don't have anything definitive on it, which is very frustrating, but you can't pin anybody down just yet. It looks like the Lady Bird deed may be treated as a divestment, maybe treated as a gift, which would be really terrible, be very, very bad. Because what it means then is we'd be forcing all the assets through probate. And if we're forcing all the assets through probate, if someone needs the long-term care, what it means is now the state gets your house or whatever else. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. There are ways around it, but only if you pre-plan. You can't wait anymore. You know, you can't just say, well, it'll be okay. We've got Deborah from Grand Rapids on. Good morning, Deb.
Hi. I was wondering, with a lot of people going down to the South America countries like Belize and Nicaragua and Ecuador, if you were to, say, retire down in there and cash out your estate and move everything down to a foreign country, when you passed away, would your children have a better chance of holding on to everything that you've worked for?
You know, good question.
Thank you.
Well,
I love to keep people on their toes.
Yeah, well, there you go. I stumped the chump. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what Belizean or Costa Rican estate recovery is. And I don't know what facilities are available down there, to tell you the truth. Obviously, yeah, there are a lot of people moving down there, and apparently we have more and more people renouncing their citizenship, their U.S. citizenship, to avoid some of the taxes and whatnot. Apparently, it's doubled in the last couple of years. Wonder why. So what you're saying is, well, what if I moved everything down to Costa Rica, right?
Yes.
And I needed long-term care in Costa Rica. Well, you know, it depends on what the it really does depend very much on what the safety net is down there. You know, what do they have in terms of long-term care and how much does it cost and who's going to pay for it? All those questions come right to the fore. I have to tell you though, you know, just traveling around a little bit in Europe and China, you know, there's no place like America to be old. Okay, I mean, it's no bargain being an old person in Europe. It's not a good deal, from what I could see, or China for that matter. You know, I mean, the older people in this country, I mean, it's fashionable to say, oh, the Europeans are so sophisticated, and you know, the Chinese revere their elders and all the rest of it. And I'm, you know, whatever. But it seems to me that in America you have older people who are treated as individuals, who are respected as individuals, and who receive services that are dependent, that are determined more by the individual than by, you know, what we think, what the society thinks, you know, is owed to that older generation. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a different thing. It's a much more what do you want to say? I guess individual is the way to think about it. I mean, we don't put grandma up in the attic anymore, and most other countries do, as a matter of fact, at least as a matter of what I could see. And I suppose if you're the, you know, if you're the gringo, you know, with the money, you might be entitled to a different level of service. But if you're going to say, hey, I want to rely on the Costa Rican solution to long-term care, you know, I think you might be a little disappointed. I mean, at the very least, I don't know. All I can tell you is what I've seen in Europe, you know, in France and Italy and whatnot, with my own eyes. You know, it didn't seem like too good, or in China, it didn't seem like too good a deal to me. But I don't know what it's like in I probably don't even know what it's like in those countries, but just what I could see. And I haven't done the traveling in Central America, so I don't really know. But
okay, thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. And certainly there are a lot of people who are moving to South America and Central America because the dollar goes further down there. But, give me the good old US of A. That's what I say. You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Just giving you the heads up that the rules are changing again. If you're relying on a ladybird deed, you might not want to do that. It looks like we've got some changes coming that really have bad consequences. So if you've got a ladybird deed, give us a shout at 888-463-2843, also known sometimes as a transfer on death deed. Let's get some of our emails here. Does the personal representative and executor of the estate have the right to decide who gets what from an estate? So my husband's father passed away 3 months ago, sister named as the personal rep and executor of the estate. Parents' will stated that everything must be split between the kids equally. One kid's wants something more than the others, they can deduct that from their portion of the inheritance. I think what we're talking about is the tangible personal property, the stuff in the house. What happened is the sister has decided to only get what she thinks is valuable and have it appraised. She's either taken items for herself and her family or gave them away. As executor and personal rep, shouldn't she have listed everything in the home and then have a professional come in and tell her what is and what isn't valuable? The biggest problem is she's taking things that are valuable and says they're not or is giving them away. Generally, you know, that's a real problem, obviously. Generally, a personal representative can do whatever's necessary to administer the estate so long as they're not stealing, so long as they believe in good faith that this stuff is, you know, dumpster material and they can pitch it in the dumpster or take it to the, you know, St. Vincent de Paul or Salvation Army or what have you, you know, can get rid of the assets, give those assets away. The question is, what if sister is deciding that the things that have no value are like the mahogany, you know, mahogany hutch? Well, yeah, I'm going to give that to my kid because it has no value to that thing, right? Well, then you get into real issues. We'll finish up the answer to this question when we get back from the break. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, inviting you to give us a call at 888-463-2843. You can call that number anytime you like. Sign up for one of our free life plan workshops, or you can get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. And sign up there. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming,
four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. No partridges in pear trees, but we do have life plan workshops. And if you drop us an email and request a personal invitation to a life plan workshop in the name of anybody you want, give us their address and everything else, and we will send them a personal invitation. So if people are saying, well, you know, I would do it, but nobody personally invited me. Well, okay, then. We will personally invite. And if you would prefer that we send it directly to you so that you can, you know, put that friendly little reminder in the stocking or under the tree, well, that's okay, too. We one thing, though, we will not be supplying ribbons or bows. Okay, no bows. If you want to put a bow on the invite, well, charge on. It's it's the holiday season after all, and you know, you're more than free to, you know, wrap it if you wish, or to, like I say, stick a bow on there if you want to. But we will provide you with a personal handwritten invitation to the loved one of your choice, should you choose to. I'll get in trouble for that probably. Anyway, go ahead and drop us a line, email david@davidcarrierlaw.com, or get on over to the website. The website being, of course, davidcarrierlaw.com. You'll see the upcoming life plan workshops, including our very famous New Year's Eve workshops. The rumors that there are party hats, favors, and noisemakers. Well, it's not true yet. It might come true. I don't know. It depends. You never know with the life plan workshop. It's just one rollicking one moment after the other. Anyway, if you want to set up for the New Year's by attending a life plan workshop, easy to do. Go to the website. Website has all the upcoming dates and times. Sign up. You know, one of the things that came up at the last workshop, and this is happens to be a point I try to make. You know, why do we do the workshops every single week? And now we're at two workshops. Why do we do them with this kind of frequency? And I think it's very important. You know, I've been counseled that you should make it a big deal. You know, call before midnight tonight. You know, and you gotta, you know, limit the number of workshops. And I you know, this is just general marketing stuff that people always tell me, general marketing stuff, and I frankly find it doesn't work. You know, not really very useful. But anyway, the idea is, you make it a big event, you know, and then, you know, because if you do them too often, then people will put it off. And I don't find that. My experience is that people who come to the workshop generally come to the workshop because, you know, life situations has changed. You know, a lot of folks have been listening to the show for, you know, you could have been listening to it for like going on 10 years now. And then they come to the workshop, you know, and maybe it takes that long because until something in your life changes, until, you know, people who are, well, now we're retiring. My mom just diagnosed dementia. My spouse, you know, things happen. And they don't happen on schedule. They certainly don't happen on, you know, the things in your life don't happen on my schedule. You know, it's like, jeepers, I got to wait three months to find out what's going on here. No, that's not how life works. At least not how my life works. You know, things happen. And when things happen, you got to respond to it. And if we did the workshops, you know, every blue moon or so, well, how useful is that? So that's why we do them every single week, because every single week people's lives change, you know, and when that happens, we want to be there. Like, you know, we're there for our clients, for the families that we, you know, that we're privileged to work with. We want to be there for you. That's why we do free phone calls at the office. It's always a free phone call. You know, call, please call. The reason we make them free is because if we didn't, you wouldn't call as often. We want you to call, right? That's why it's free. That's why the workshop are there every single week. It's a resource. Okay? So when you're ready, you don't have to wonder when the next one's coming up. The answer is Friday or Saturday. I mean, that's pretty much how it works. That's why we do these workshops all the time. All righty, let's get back to some emails here. Can children of a deceased mother without a will take their stepfather to probate court? Mother recently passed away without a will, therefore no inheritance. I don't know about the therefore there. I was wondering if I can take my stepfather to probate court. Well, question is, why would you want to? Let's assume mom died with a bunch of stuff. So mom has stuff, and she died. Can, you know, do we have to go to probate court? Well, if she owned all the stuff with stepdad, you know, if they're joint owners on everything, the answer is no. You know, you can't take, how would you take them to probate court? For what? Right? But if mom had stuff in her own name, then could you, well, somebody's got to go to probate court. Somebody's got to go to probate court to change that stuff out of mom's name. And now, would that be you? Would you have an interest in that as a stepchild? You know, as a child of mom? Well, it depends. You know, assuming, not really assuming, you're saying it, that they're married, you're not the child of the surviving spouse. Surviving spouse gets the first, I think it's $175,000, okay? But anything over that gets split with the kids, you know, with the children who were not children of the surviving spouse. So, okay, so there's an opportunity, you know, there's an opportunity there, but obviously it has to be a fairly large estate. So it's one of those situations where, you know, can you take him to probate court? Well, it depends on whether or not there's any stuff. Would it make any sense to take him to probate? Well, it depends how much stuff. Okay? So that's the answer here. You know, did mom have the $1 million cottage on Lake Michigan in her own name? Okay? In her own name when she died. Well, if she did, then yeah, it might make might make a lot of sense to probate mom's estate. It's not a situation where you're taking stepfather to probate. You're not taking him to court. It's a matter of probating the assets that are in mom's estate and asserting your own, you know, rights to receive some of that stuff. So, you know, can you? Well, yeah, but it depends on the circumstances. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, wishing you a Merry Christmas.